Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Things moved rather quickly.
They did.
Yesterday, when it came to the whole release the Epstein files, you know, for so long, there was so much blowback and resistance from Republicans, and it was all of a sudden like the dam broke.
This is called momentum. Like, this is a real-time momentum. Like, you see it all happen, and I was shocked how fast this all went.
Really, truly, pretty wild how it all went down. Now, there were victims of Jeffrey Epstein that were there while this vote was going on to release the Epstein files. And that vote, I believe, was it not everyone voted yes, except for one person?
On this vote, the yeas are 427, the nays are one. Two-thirds being in...
Yes, it was one.
Clay Higgins.
Clay Higgins.
What's crazy is... no. I'm like, okay, good luck with that in history.
Yeah, I understand his reason. I have the same concerns as far as, like, you don't want someone who is, like, taking advantage of the con man that is Jeffrey Epstein. Versus the
what
sex event.
He was saying, oh, we don't want to have people that are like victims, their names out there, or other people that weren't, you know, criminally have their names out there. Look, too bad. So sad. We're moving on.
I think that's a problem they can deal with, because at this point you have to put the stuff out there. But, you know, I don't know. I talked about this on Monday. The sex offenders and creeps like this will try to buddy up with good people. So when bad things come out, they go, that's my friend. He'd never do that. So there are going to be people who are going to be like, I really didn't have any idea, but they're going to show up. And that's a bad situation, because we do go out. Those people are going to get attacked.
So everybody except one.
Only one.
I don't understand it.
Not good. Not a good look on that day.
Good for you.
Not a good look.
Oh, God. Anyway, that thing moved to the Senate. But, you know, Mike Johnson, it sounded like he wanted them to, you know, make some changes, you know, and people were saying, oh, you know, he was talking about how, you don't want to jeopardize anything or anyone. But the Senate was like, no, dude, 420 some votes. We're just moving this thing on as it is. We'll get more into the technical stuff coming. In the meantime, President Donald Trump seemed pretty cranky about the whole thing yesterday. And again, listen, I know some of you have gotten used to this and you don't realize just how disgusting and outrageous it is. But an ABC reporter asked a question, and then he basically called for their license to be revoked because, God forbid, a question Mary Bruce, White House correspondent, asked, and it had to do with the Jeffrey Epstein files. Do we have that little
interaction? Yeah, this is, by the way, he references a previous question. She asked a different question. This was the second time he, you know, had an issue with one of her questions.
Here's what I want. We have nothing to do with Epstein. The Democrats do.
Hang on.
Yeah, there's one where she asks the question.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
Well, It's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. I think you are a terrible reporter. It's the way you ask these questions. You start off with a man who's highly respected, asking him a horrible, insubordinate, and just a terrible question. And you could even ask that same exact question nicely. You're all psyched. Somebody psychs you over at ABC. You're going to psych it. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. As far as the Epstein files is, I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert. But I guess I turned out to be right. But you know who does have? Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, who ran Harvard, was with him every single night, every single weekend. They lived together. They went to his island many times. Geez. I never did.
So he clearly said, he says, right. He knows a lot about it, apparently. Right.
Although Donald Trump's name has come up thousands of times in these ones that we've seen just from the estate. Listen, the personal attacks that he does on reporters, it's just awful. Obviously, he doesn't like the question, so he has to attack the person. And this is constant stuff. Yeah. The other day, in case you didn't see it, and I don't think that there's actually any video coverage of this. I've not been able to find it, but it has been reported on by multiple outlets that he referred to a Bloomberg news correspondent as a piggy during a clash on board Air Force One. Now, it picked up traction Tuesday, the comment. It happened on Friday. And it has drawn backlash from fellow journalists. Now, I'm just curious as to why nobody at that time outraged would have defended or said something about it. Her name is Catherine Lucy, and she is the Bloomberg White House correspondent. And she took advantage of the press opportunity with the president. So this is where they just kind of informally go around on the plane. And she asked a question about the unfolding Jeffrey Epstein scandal and the possibility of the House voting to release all the files. As she started to ask why he was behaving the way he was, if there's nothing incriminating in the files, Trump pointed at her and said, "Quiet, quiet, piggy." CBS News reporter Jennifer Jacobs first reported that Trump called a Bloomberg news reporter piggy. Then after the news came out, there were others. CNN anchor Jake Tapper wrote, "Disgusting, completely unacceptable." I guess there is a clip of the incident. Now I'm seeing sharing a clip. But former Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson called the remark disgusting and degrading. That is just really, you know what? All of it is bad and it's only getting worse. And look, as he is spiraling out in public, we are watching it in real time. But to call someone a piggy because they ask a question, and this is in public, I can imagine what he says behind closed doors.
It was on Air Force One.
Yes.
But they had cameras going. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it. I did hear it yesterday. And then I'll tell you what, I started doing my own research and what I found. And it's funny because the reporter's name is what?
Catherine.
Which would explain when Gronk on Twitter yesterday was saying, no, the reporter's name was Peggy.
Yeah, no,
that's what Grok said.
I know they're trying to now say that it was Peggy. It's not. Her name is Catherine Lucy. Yeah, you can hardly hear me. Say quiet, quiet, Piggy.
That's crazy.
Piggy. That is really, really horrible.
That is wild, though.
It's just the low of the low. And it just goes to show, look, this is who he is in public. I can imagine what he says behind closed doors. What the hell? All right. So back to the whole Epstein files situation. There was another moment, and we'll get back to the Epstein files. Do we have the clip regarding the murder of the Washington Journal correspondent, Washington Post, sorry, Khashoggi?
Jamal Khashoggi. Yeah, this is a same reporter. This was right before the other question. Mary Bruce from ABC asks, and he came to his defense. The president came to his defense.
So the guy who ordered the murder and dismemberment of Khashoggi when he went to, you know, the Middle East to get, I think he went there for some kind of documents and never came out of the building there. So Donald Trump is sitting down with the prince who ordered this thing. And what is amazing, you're going to hear Donald Trump defend him and almost say that it's fake news, that it's not real. his own CIA at the time, he was the president when this happened, determined it was ordered. That murder was ordered by the prince, who's sitting by his side in our White House. What a shameful, shameful thing.
Mr. President, is it appropriate, Mr. President, for your family to be doing business in Saudi Arabia while you're president? Is that a conflict of interest? And Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office. Why should Americans trust you?
Who are you with?
And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst in the business. But I'll answer your question. I have nothing to do with the family business. I have left, and when I've devoted 100% of my energy. What my family does is fine. They do business all over. They've done very little with Saudi Arabia, actually. I'm sure they could do a lot. And anything they've done has been very good. That's what we've done. We've built a tremendous business for a long time. I've been very successful. I decided to leave that success behind and make America very successful. And I've made America more successful by far than it ever was, and that it ever could have been, no matter who was president. There would be nobody bringing in $21 trillion, that I can tell you right now. As far as this gentleman is concerned, he's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen, but he knew nothing about it. And we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
That is so unbelievable.
He, to his credit, the Saudi prince, he answered the question.
Did he?
He at least addressed it after the president was like, don't embarrass our guest.
Mr. President, you allow me to answer. You know, I feel painful about, you know, the families of 9/11 in America. But, you know, we have to focus on reality. Reality based on CIA documents and based on a lot of documents that Osama bin Laden used Saudi people in that event for one main purpose, is to destroy this relation.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the fact that our own president...
Horrible.
In being asked, by the way... being asked about whether the appropriateness here, this Prince Mohammed bin Salman,
MBS,
who
yeah.
ordered the murder of a reporter, he says it's fake news. Then he says the guy who was murdered, remember, murdered, dismembered, his body taken out in, I believe, like briefcases, suitcases, just real.
Someone brought a portable bone saw.
Vicious, horrible stuff. And what does he do? He calls the victim extremely controversial.
Yeah.
And well, whether you like him or you don't like him, he's extremely. What the hell? That is so. That is just jaw dropping. I don't even know what else to say about it other than, things happen. You know, there are people who are controversial all the time. So I just got Charlie Kirk was controversial. Would you ever answer a question like that if you had the person who ordered someone to be murdered sitting next to you? Would you say, well, things happen, he's controversial? I mean, it's more and more stunning every single day. Quickly, just to mention where we're at with this files, the Epstein files enforcing the release. The Senate agreed by unanimous consent to approve the House-passed bill requiring the Justice Department to release all unclassified records and documents related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It's swift. It was very swift in the Senate, and it has ended the protracted battle in Congress. This has caused months of turmoil in the House. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer last night received unanimous consent to approve the Epstein Files Transparency Act upon receipt of the legislation from the House. They got approval from all 99 of his colleagues to deem the bill passed. As soon as the Senate receives the legislation from the House, they expect that to happen sometime this morning. And they say that this now will quickly send the legislation to President Trump's desk. After the Senate Republican cloakroom ran a hotline to see if there were any objections on the Republican side of the aisle. They were doing the voice vote thing. And look, the Senate's now passed the Epstein bill. They'll do it as soon as it comes over from the House. And again, that is supposed to happen sometime this morning. So we'll see what happens here. Deeming a major House-approved bill is passed as soon as it's received in the Senate is extremely rare. It's a procedural move that shows Republican senators are not eager to vote on the matter after months of party infighting over it. So that thing is moving forward, and they didn't do any changes to it, which Mike Johnson kind of hinted that he wanted to see done.
Yeah.
So this thing moves forward. Now, the question is what happens next? I saw the news. I said, John, did you see? And he was excited. Guess what's coming?
Another Dua Lipa song? No. Hang on. What's coming? Oh.
It's Celtic Woman.
Johnny's favorite.
They are coming to the FM Kirby Center.
Shut up. I didn't see that. This is big news for Johnny. Whoa.
The group Celtic Woman performing as part of a new era tour. This was announced yesterday, Sunday, March the 8th. Getting you right in that spirit, right around St. Patrick's Day.
Hang on 1 second. Johnny, I just put in vacation days. You can take off the day before and the day after. You're done.
How about that?
Okay.
Are you excited? He's already plenty. And not only is it great news because it's right here, I saw them at the Kirby Center. Oh, gosh, years and years ago. My husband's a big fan of theirs. So, and they're great. They are so much fun to see in person. But because the fact that they're here, they're also playing nearby as well, right? So you're going to, it's going to be a Celtic Woman palooza for you.
That's right, in March.
So John's gone in March, everybody. We'll see him in April.
What's the furthest you've ever driven to a Celtic Woman show? I forget.
Probably, let's see, I think either State College or Lancaster. You're like
I think you went to like upstate New York once, didn't you?
Did you ever go to Syracuse?
Syracuse, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that's a little closer. Yeah, that's, I mean, this is, I try to explain to people who ask about this, like, is he just, like, really a fan, or is it a joke? No, it's he's a fan.
Super fan.
Super fan.
It's not outside the norm. You see them all the time on WVIA. I think I don't know if they do anymore, but passing by on the channels, I think a lot of people love them. They're great.
Oh, they have a huge following. And I've learned this because sometimes I'll joke and be like, if you want to talk to Johnny, just bring up Celtic Woman and you have your afternoon planned, because you are such a super fan. But I apologize to you because I tend to like tiptoe into this area where it sounds like I'm making fun of you. And I have no room to do that because we all have our own interests. And I love how passionate you are about that. So
good stuff. You were excited when you saw it.
Yes.
Maybe good, we can get tickets to give away. John, so you don't have to buy them. Do you want to?
Oh, he's already working on stuff.
We should have you introduce him if you're allowed on stage legally, because I know you get close to him sometimes.
I think they have a PFA on him.
All right. Yeah. That's our joke, but he never denies it, which is.
You're always there. They probably know you to see you.
Well, now this time there's going to be a couple new members.
So you need to get them to know who you are.
That's right.
It's like Menudo. Remember that back in the day when their voice changed, they booted them out? What changes about these women that makes them leave? Is it just career aspirations?
Do they go solo sometimes?
Yeah, some of them, they either came from solo careers or they go into solo careers.
Right. Or they just get tired of
your family. You
know. True or false, the most successful former member of Celtic Woman who went solo is Beyonce. True or false? False. Okay, I'm making things up. I don't know much about him.
Was it that one who played the fiddle?
Mairéad?
Yes.
Yeah, she's
amazing.
Doing things on her own.
Yeah, she's doing her own thing now. Yes. Good for her.
I'm so happy.
By the way,
I'm so happy
for John. In addition to Celtic Woman, there's some comedians.
Yeah, I saw these.
That are also going to perform. We've got Daniel Tosh's My First Farewell Tour, Sunday, June 21st. I guess he's known for being on the Comedy Central. He's had hour-long specials, a show, Tosh.0.
Very, very popular. He hasn't toured in a long time, as far as I know.
Stand-up comedian Brad Williams performing his The Tall Tales Tour, Thursday, September 17th.
Do you know why that's funny?
Is he short?
He's a little person. He is. I don't know what the official term is, but he's a little guy. He's very funny. He's not a little guy like a kid. He's a guy like
How about he's short?
Yeah, I don't know what the appropriate term is, but he probably would be fine with
whatever. So the Tall Tales Tour, and these are all at the FM Kirby Center, and you can get their tickets. They all go on sale starting today for Kirby Center members and on Friday for the general public.
They are getting good comedy. This is in addition to Jim Jefferies, who's an Australian comedian who's he's an American citizen, I believe. He's really funny, too. Those are big names they're bringing in.
So former Penn State coach James Franklin is now the coach at Virginia Tech. And he made some public comments, the first one since taking the job. Did not mention Penn State. He just referred to it as the last place. His quote, "We poured our heart and soul into the last place for the last 12 years, learned a lot of lessons, got tremendous experience, and obviously we're going to take all those experiences and knowledge and bring it to Virginia Tech." And look, as someone who is a fan of Penn State football, I'm happy for him. It seems like he's found a place where he'll be, I think, comfortable and do well. At the same time, I also think it was time for Penn State to move on. It's really interesting online because there are a number of commentators and others who I'm going to specifically mention a few from the Barstool organization, and they have like Barstool Penn State, Barstool, like every school.
Dave Portnoy, didn't he sell it and then bought it back?
Anyway, something like that. Something. Okay, but the point is, there have been ones, and now, like in some ways, they're like, oh, look, great get for Virginia Tech. Penn State's going to blah, 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 like crapping on Penn State for the firing of James Franklin. And people have screenshots of him talking about James Franklin and how poorly he does in the big games and how much they've been let down. It's amazing. Some of the same people who would always call him Big Game James and how he would fail at the big ones.
Sarcasm.
Now are like, well, Penn State is going to rue that. It's like, you know, just be consistent. So I'm happy for James Franklin. I think he'll do well. There are people who say he should do well there. It's the ACC. He should be able to have a lot of wins. You know, there are some who look at that conference to say it's not as tough as being in the Big Ten or the SEC.
Yeah, like I think he's a great coach for them to bring in because he's a program builder. He can rebuild. He's kind of proven that.
And that's his whole region for recruiting.
Yeah. So this has never been about, is he good for your program? It's just about whether or not he can take you to the elite level.
Right.
Penn State decided he couldn't.
So who is the next Penn State coach?
Don't friggin' know.
It's so funny because there are some who are getting very anxious. And there are others who claim that they have knowledge that, oh, they already know who it is. But you're not going to know until after Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
So who will it be? Who do you want it to be? And I'm just curious to know if anybody has anybody in mind that they would like it to be.
If it is true that they have it all figured out and they know exactly what the plan is, that would make a lot of sense because it seems like every school who is firing a coach is really making noise except Penn State.
Right.
It seems like everything's real quiet, like they have it under control.
Right. Now, I will say this, looking at the coaching questions out there, this Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss.
That seems to be picking up some steam somewhere.
I think he is more likely to stay there. That's the question is like that. Did they give you a deadline is the question people are asking him that supposedly he has to tell them by like November 28th, because I don't know. I think a lot of this is a way for him to get more money. Right. You keep the question out there. But I think we're at a point now where he's very, very much on social media, and his dog is on social media. If you've ever seen his dog's shit, it's pretty funny. I just don't see him. I think in the end, he's going to get a lot of money and he's going to stay there.
Every time we bring him up, I Google him to remind myself of like who he is.
Yeah.
And he's so young. He's 50 years old.
I know.
That's insane. And I always worry, like, will a big name coach who's coached in the NFL want to come to a small place like State College? And then I remember he was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska, not exactly a metropolis. So I think.
Oh, Lane?
Lane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think it's one of these things where, you know, it might be right for him.
Right.
You know, big fish in a small pond kind of thing.
This Kalen DeBoer, who is from Alabama. Now, he's the coach at Alabama, and but there's some questions about, you know, that they've had some losses. They have one game coming up that people are saying if they lose, they think his job might be in jeopardy. He supposedly might have some roots, does he not, in a part of Pennsylvania, I thought.
Lane Kiffin. No,
Kaylin DeBoer. I thought that's who I was talking about. Maybe I've got this wrong. There's one in particular that they've been talking about, and he was from Colpmont, Pennsylvania. Maybe I've got the wrong coach. But
I always love when there's a Pennsylvania town I've never heard of.
I keep trying to look for the ones that have a connection, because that's a big part of what they're looking for.
Or are we making that up? Like, we, everybody who watches this, because there was Matt Rhule, who definitely had a connection. Terry Smith definitely has a connection. There's a lot of people who seem to have connections that aren't.
I'm sorry. It was
stuff.
Bob Chesney. I am so sorry. Bob Chesney is a native of Colpmont, Pennsylvania, and he is at James Madison University. His name has been coming up in recent days about possibly coming here. That is where he is from. And now when I search it, it says he is a leading candidate for the new Penn State football coach position. I'm sorry. So not not the Alabama coach, but Bob Chesney. So James Madison University, and I guess has had a lot of success there as well.
But that's very similar to Franklin, same kind of small side school building that program.
Right.
No proven track record of like that next level success. So we'll see what happens. I think, looking at it, as much as I think Lane Kiffin might be slightly overrated, what do I know? And he also has been in the NFL. It has that big name appeal. You'd think that's what they'd want. If they want to go up and coming, take the guy, Brian Hartline from Ohio State, who has been on the national championship team, is in the division. That's awesome. That's an awesome steal.
It does, whether or not they're not head coach. They haven't been. Look what we have right now. We have a defensive coordinator. Who do we steal from Ohio State?
The defensive coordinator.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And there's been some questions about that as well. So, you know, do you take someone who has success at a smaller place and bring them up? We've seen that be more successful, I think, in some cases than just taking someone specializing in one, you know, the offense or the defense.
In the Big Ten, taking a guy like Hartline would really be a splash in the big, like, middle finger to Ohio State, you know, to steal their guy. Mm-hmm. Their heir apparent, you know, and I think that would be kind of
cool. Yeah, but we took their defensive guy and it didn't really do it. We'll quickly run this down for you. The 2025 podcast rankings from Apple. The Morning News. Jason at number one. Just kidding.
We chose not to be on the list, just so you know. That's what's
the Joe Rogan Experience was the most popular show this year on global listener data, displacing The Daily from the New York Times. That is in second place. Mel Robbins, you know, if they want to, they would. Anyway, I think she's great.
But I've also heard she stole ideas from people and that bothers me.
Doesn't everybody?
From her? From me?
We're in a whole world of people stealing stuff. Anyway, she comes in third. I think she has great advice. Anyway, Rogan's episode with Elon Musk was the fourth most listened to episode of 2025. So, boop, boop, with you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been talking about football. We won't continue
sports
that.
Sports talk radio. Yeah. We would be very bad sports talk radio hosts.
I'd be better than you.
You might be. Can we talk pro wrestling?
I want to mention one more
quickly
before we get into other stuff. So we're talking about who will be the next Penn State football coach. Still, all these names are out there. There's one that I've heard, not a lot, but enough that it makes me wonder if there's some possible something, something. So I'm going to mention it here in case it does happen and we can say our sports talk was correct. Joe Brady, Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, Penn State graduate. I understand he also, I from what I've heard, he is very supportive financially to the university as well.
I like his initials.
So if you Google it, you'll see, like, starting in mid-October, there were some discussions about could he possibly be going there. Rumblings of, you know, mentioned as a possible Penn State head coach. Who knows?
From Buffalo.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator.
So going to State College is a weather upgrade in the winter. Know. That's kind of interesting.
If you went there, look, people who go there, my daughter goes there, but you know, there's a network of, you know, if there are people, they bleed blue and white.
Yep.
They have so much love, which is why we hear so much about how important certain things are to be a coach there. And it's someone who would have that connection.
Right.
It would obviously be brownie points on top of any kind of, you know, other experience. So that's just a possibility out there. Who would you like to see as the next coach for the Penn State Nittany Lions?
You're hoping they'll rehire James Franklin, no, he's going to Virginia Tech.
He doesn't even talk about it as Penn State. He calls it the last place. Well, the last place we're at for 12 years.
That's PA hellhole. he doesn't say that, but I get it, though.
I wish him well. I think that that is a perfect position for him. And he'll do well for them. And, it, you know, he will get, that is his whole recruiting area as well. And will some, I don't think there will be many who'd say, I want to go to Virginia Tech instead of Penn State, but you just don't know. You don't know. So there are rumblings that Penn State knows and has a coach in place, but we won't know until after Thanksgiving or something.
The only thing they're saying right now is someone with football coaching experience.
Someone who knows football.
Yeah, they know this game pretty well. And they're confident they can lead. Beyond that, who knows?
Yeah. Somebody texted Matt McGloin, ha.
But what after this? But what about right after spring practice when he leaves?
Right.
Then what? Right?
Right.
It's a resignation joke. Come on.
Yeah. We were also talking Bob Chesney at James Madison University, someone who also has roots in Pennsylvania, was from Culpmont. He's another one whose name has come up. Someone texted us and said Kurt Cignetti came from James Madison. Look what he's done for Indiana. This is true.
Yeah, but what happened? No, that's a good point.
Very good point. All right. It is the morning news on WILK on this Wednesday morning, 36 degrees, cloudy skies. Might have had some snow showers, and they'll stick around only a little bit this morning, and then partial clearing this afternoon. We will see a high of 45. We are now at 36 degrees. Yesterday, it happened very, very quick.
Yep.
It was so quick. It was mind-blowing. I mean, I have to be honest, the House thing was one thing, which was a unanimous vote, sans one. So it wasn't unanimous. It was almost this Clay Higgins, I believe, from Texas, with the lone no vote on releasing the Epstein files.
It's one way to make a name for yourself, to stand out in that bunch.
Hey, don't
look at
like
me.
It. Both the House and the Senate acted decisively, passing the bill to force the Justice Department to publicly release the files. Unconvicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. You know, this all started with just this very small bipartisan group of House lawmakers back in July using the dispatch petition to maneuver around Speaker Mike Johnson's control of the House floor. It seemed like a long shot, didn't it then? Remember, it was all being talked about as a hoax by Donald Trump at that time. But a lot of things have happened on many fronts, especially the election. And there were sweeping victories for Democrats across the board. There were sweeping victories for Democrats in Republican areas. And I think that was a wake-up call to many. There is a fracture in the President Trump base over this Epstein issue. The fact that someone would work so hard not to release something they talked about releasing would make you wonder what they're concerned about. I mean, it wasn't just the president. Mike Johnson was pushing back on this. But the president in recent days bowed to the political reality, saying he would sign the bill, which makes a lot of people go, what is going on? Now, not to say we don't agree that he should release them. The question is, what will happen if it's going to be procedurally pushed through by the Senate today with no changes? And it's supposed to be on the president's desk. The question is, what's next? There are some who believe, oh, Pam Bondi might go. Oh, sorry. We've opened an investigation into Democrats, which is wild. So we would only protect. So what she's saying is we would only go after those from one party, which is ridiculous. So people are wondering, will she only add some and leave others out? Now, we don't know if that will happen or not. Others are saying, look, there are enough people that have seen these files that it would come out eventually if there were stuff being hidden.
Yeah, you mentioned Mike Johnson coming out. Yesterday, we had played a clip also from the president. I want to play a part of it where he talked about the Epstein list and it being a Democrat thing and it's a Democrat problem. And then he went on to say this.
All I want is I want for people to recognize the great job that I've done on.
And he doesn't mention the victims at all. The victims and what they've been saying and what people have been pushing for, that's really what's driven this more than politics. People are like, yeah, let's not forget about the victims. But the president was like, no, I'm doing a great job. Let's not use this. This is not a, well, this shouldn't be a distraction.
Narcissism on display.
But then Mike Johnson came out yesterday and he's, you know, saying kind of similar things without, he's not talking about victims at all.
President Trump has nothing to do with it. He has said himself, he has nothing to hide. And that's clearly what they've been trying to do. They're trying to attack President Trump. This is what they've done. They weaponized the justice system over the last several years to go after him. And this is their latest attempt. And they don't have a platform or a principle to defend on the Democrat Party side. So they put all their eggs in this basket. And that's why you hear endlessly about Epstein. Everything's about Epstein.
And everyone voted for it.
Let us just say that that statement right there is so laughable. They don't have a party or platform to stand on. They had a party and platform to stand on. They did not run against Donald Trump this past election. They ran on affordability. They ran on making things affordable for people. They ran on, we are fighting for you to get healthcare help with the ACA subsidies being extended. That is still another issue that needs to be worked on. But this is wild. So innocent, if he is truly not, if he has nothing to worry about in those files, why wouldn't you be the first one saying we are going to release the files if there's nothing to hide? Like, this is the funny thing. If all of what he's saying is true, they want to do this, they want to hurt him, they blah, blah, blah. If all of that were true, this is so easy to go, we're going to call their bluff. We're going to release them and you're going to see. You know damn well if he was not in those files at all, these things would have been out there on day two. But instead, it has been dragging them along. And finally, I think the dam just burst on this thing. I think there are Republicans who realize the shellacking that happened a couple Tuesdays ago. And they know that all of this is a part of it. This is a big part of it because with their own people, if they can't get their base out to vote for them next year, if they feel so disillusioned, disappointed in the people who said they were going to do this, Yeah. You can't even get your own people, never mind trying to convince independents or people on the other side to vote for you. If you have your own base just disappointed and deflated, they know that they have to do this or all hope is gone for the next year and the elections.
I think it drives me crazy about all this is who knows what is going to come out of it and when. But there is this idea, and it probably is. It's definitely a both sides thing. It's like salivating, just like, oh, something good's going to happen to take out the other side. Like, it doesn't matter what their current political party is, if it's a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, if they are in those files and they've done something heinous or they're directly linked, then they're not a part. They're a sex pervert. And like, they're a creep. They're potentially a criminal. They've done something wrong. Let's not make this about political party. You know?
Let's just make it about let the chips fall where they may. And this is all the information in those files. What's really interesting is there was an investigation going on until Donald Trump came into office. And then that investigation was shut down and people were either removed or moved out of that position. And they stopped the investigation. Pam Bondi said there was nothing else to investigate. Is it going to be something if we see these files, whether it's a politician with a D or an R next to their name or just a business person? Is it going to be interesting if we see real damning evidence and we had our own attorney general say, yeah, there's nothing to see here. This is real disturbing stuff. But we're going to see it, hopefully.
I get it.
Will they change them? Are they redacting them? Will they? I think all of it's going to come out. If they try to cover things up, that's all going to come out. There are too many people who've seen these files. Too many. In a week, we'll be on Thanksgiving Eve.
You will.
What do you mean?
My oven is on the fritz. We may not be able to do Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, do you do it anyway? Do you make it yourself? Or I thought you went.
Well, my wife used to hate turkey. Now she likes making it. But we have an oven.
It's really not that hard.
Oh, I'm not saying it's hard, but she enjoys doing it. She likes it. My daughter likes doing it, but our oven has we probably could cook through it. It just starts smoking. It smells like burnt plastic.
Yeah, it's time to get
house.
A new one.
Well, you know, it's only a year old.
So do you have a warranty? You better hurry up.
They're supposed to come today, but they can't tell me if they can fix it today or just go, oh, yeah, you're right. It's broken. We'll come back in December. We don't know. So,
I'll tell you what. We had a power outage.
Thank you. We'll be there at what time?
No, I'm kidding. We had a power outage. Maybe it was 6-7 years ago. I can't even remember exactly when, but my mother-in-law had come in and the power was gone. So what I did was we cooked the turkey out on the grill. The grill had enough propane in it, and we cooked the turkey on the grill. It was wonderful.
My wife keeps suggesting that we'll get like turkey breasts and we'll put them on the grill. And I love grilling, but all I keep thinking about is charred turkey.
No, put the turkey on the grill.
I know. And I keep thinking about it being charred like a steak. And that
No, it was fine.
I know I'm overthinking it.
No, it was really fine because it's like an oven. You could heat it up there to the right. It's just a long time. So make sure you have enough protein in there. It was good, though. Worked out. All right. Talking about data centers, the Scranton Times Tribune has a story. And they're talking about a number of different municipalities and what they're doing about them. Dixon City is working on regulating data centers. From what I understand, though, they don't have any proposed operator coming in at this time, but they're trying to kind of get ahead of things. They are going to hold a public hearing December 9th at the Borough Building. That's at 5:30 p.m. And they'll ask the public for any kind of input. And their ordinance that they're looking at would make data centers special exceptions in Dixon City's light manufacturing districts. And that has a whole bunch of different requirements. They have to go in a public hearing in front of the hearing board, and they have different criteria established. So we do know the Mid-Valley area has become pretty much like the main area where there have been data center proposals. You know, Archbold, yeah. Jessup. Dixon City would join its neighbors there in Blakely and Jessup, Oliphant, Archbold, in trying to regulate this industry, which has been really just kind of exponentially ramping up.
Right? It seems like it's moving so fast that I almost wonder if they thought, well, just get this done and then they'll notice. The people noticed.
Right. Meanwhile, Blakely is said has applied more than 30 restrictions to data centers. They voted on Monday to adopt an ordinance amending its zoning to address data centers, applying nearly three dozen restrictions on future developments. This is in the Scranton Times Tribune. Yeah. They'd be limited to a wooded area on the outskirts of town in the northwest corner. So, you know, people are just, you know, I think justifiably, like, what's really wild is, you know, it's a huge impact. The water it consumes is huge. The electricity needs are huge. And, you know, I know the state is working on legislation, you know, where they'd have to generate their own power. There's a whole bunch of things that they're looking at. But, you know, the question is, at the same time that we are talking about how this impacts our rates and, you know, the costs of things, at the same time, we're wondering also how much this technology is going to lead to job losses. And that's a real scary thing. Like, hey, we're going to make room for this thing that's creating this hardship and noise and, you know, what it does to the power and the water in our neighborhood. And at the same time, it may be working towards the dissolution of many jobs.
Not just locally, around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little dicey. Even by the best case standards, they say once these things are up and running, each one that'll take, what, about 10 years to build is only going to have a handful of employees, you know, 10.
No, the construction 20. Is the thing that brings the most jobs.
Ooh. But if you think about that, like, think about back in the day when they're building up New York City. Do you think they were like, this Empire State Building is going to take 5 years to build and then no one will work in it? Like,
no, like, people right. It was the opposite. Board? You yeah, had so right, many right. Jobs brought. So it's just a really weird,
it's the unknown,
scary situation.
An expensive unknown.
We've got, Thanksgiving next Thursday, then the big Black Friday, which I believe was stolen from us. I'm one of those who used to, and I didn't stand in line for hours outside of a store, but I used to like to go when they opened. It was more the experience, the joy, the fun. They took it away. Now there's Black Friday stuff that happened back in October. It's like, what did you do? How dare you?
I feel like I get what you're saying. Can I help you reframe that?
You can do as you wish.
Black Friday is a fun tradition that is no longer as big as it once was, and I miss it. Because I think when you start saying things like, they stole it from us, in such close proximity to Thanksgiving, with that little land dispute, it feels like a first world problem. I get what you're saying.
I used to love to do it. I did see, and I wanted, the reason I'm also bringing this up, is I have seen that the Wyoming Valley Mall is doing some kind of a Black Friday kind of throwback fun thing. I saw it. They're hosting an old fashioned Black Friday celebration. It's up on their Facebook page. Crowds expected for unbeatable Black Friday offers at the mall. So
And good for them for getting people talking about that. I did see they were making some moves and they're trying to like push back on people who are taking shots.
They're going to have live holiday music. They have a pianist who's going to be there from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're going to have Santa in center court from noon to 7 p.m. They're going to have like a walk around magician going on from noon to 2. They'll have professional juggler there as well. The mall open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. So you'll also be able to do your shopping. But, you know, I thought it was cool. They are. So here's the thing. No one's promising you the doorbuster sales, even though I'm sure. Do they have is there a Boscov's at the Wyoming Valley Mall? I have not been there in a while. But the point is, I'm sure they'll still have stores that will have sales, but they're also making an experience walking around the music and I'm sure the lights and the decor and Santa. And that's really cool.
And a professional juggler.
A juggler and magician.
They said professional because I know sometimes my fear is an amateur juggler who's just dropping everything. This one is a pro. You will be impressed.
But I have seen also people were posting on, comments to their post on Facebook. I'm going to get in line at KB Toys at midnight. Remember those good old fashioned
people,
days?
I don't know who's doing their social media now, and it's an interesting approach. People will take shots at them. Like, I thought you were closed years ago, and they'll just be like, nope, we're still here.
Yeah.
We would love to see you.
And they have Pennies, and Pennies always has doorbuster sales and stuff on. There are some good deals you can get still on Black Friday at Pennies.
But there is, Wyoming Valley Mall is being a little bit self-deprecating and having fun with it. Like, you know, sure. I didn't even know you were open. They go, hey, we're here, and I wish we had people. We miss people. Like, and right. They'll take shots. And it's kind of funny, and it's a good way to get people talking. And, hey, planning an event's not bad.
Yeah.
Good for
and
them.
Just on the same theme, just talking about before we, this is actually after Thanksgiving, but Factoryville always does a Christmas market, and it's really cool.
I've been to this, and it cost me money because there was wine for sale, I think.
Oh, well, they do have that, too. You can certainly buy that. They have their Christmas market coming up, and it's over in the field for Christy Mathewson, and it's all, so you go over the bridge, you know, you park by the grade school, you go over the little bridge there.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
And they have all these vendors, they have great food, they have, you know, the decor, it's just really, really cool. And
great,
you can find really neat, like a lot of handmade, like jewelry and candles and all this other stuff for the holidays. I just want to let people know it's going on Friday, December the 5th, it starts in the evening there. And that's 6 to 9 p.m. The lighting ceremony. Santa's riding on the fire truck. They have barbecue dinner from Hatchet Jack's, which is great. Live music.
Nice.
Pictures with Santa after the 7 p.m. tree lighting. And it also goes on Saturday, December 6th, 11 to 7, and Sunday, December 8th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Really, really fun. Great stuff. So get there. It's very much like an old village kind of Christmas thing.
It feels like I'm going to have to do that. My daughter she's been in full on Christmas mode for about 3 weeks now. That's why we put the tree up like a month ago.
Right.
She just goes, face it, Dad, I just like Christmas. And she's singing Christmas carols nonstop.
Oh, so she'll love that.
Oh, but she will. It'll be where she falls in love with Christmas knickknacks.
If you can't get a parking spot at the elementary school there, they had been in the past doing shuttles from Keystone. I didn't check into that yet, but that's another option. But they park all along the street. Listen, I grew up in Factoryville, so there's a lot of parking there on College Avenue. Really, really fun time. Friday, December 5th through Sunday, December 7th in Factoryville. Let's take a look at that weather. Some of us got a little dusting of snow. Here is Joe Snedeker at Storm Tracker 16.
Hi, folks, and good Wednesday, Snedeker here from WNEP TV. Much of the day today, it's going to be awesome. Partly sunny and in the mid-40s, spring fever. Had some wet snow this morning in parts of the area, pretty much gonzo. And it looks pretty good all the way now into Thanksgiving week. I'm loving it. So today, partly sunny, 45. Overnight tonight, lows near 28. Now tomorrow, a partly sunny 45-degree day. Come on, this is excellent. Friday, a weak boundary moves through. There could be a few scattered showers, clouds, peeps of sun, not a bad day at all. And then the weekend, that front moves south and so does the rain. So it looks like Saturday and Sunday, we could be close to 50. Yes, with partly sunny skies. That's good parade weather in Scranton for the Santa parade. I have to say all that because it's a WNEP event and I'm a company man. I'm not a parade guy though. Hey, listen, it's not my fault. I have a short attention span. My brain is wired differently. After one fire truck, I'm ready to go home. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, still looking dry. And then some showers of rain could be around by next Wednesday, pre-Thanksgiving. The rest is up to you. Make it a good day.
Let's try and make it a good day.
He loves parades, but hates parades. So it's like, but he's like that with a lot of things, isn't he?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is great. Give me my turkey and let me go.
Do you guys still go Black Friday shopping? I do.
I haven't.
My mother
forever.
And I do. And not at, 5 a.m. when they open. I know some places will be like $10 gift card. I like my sleep too much.
Were you part of those groups of shoppers who had like things written down and things cut out and you had a plan? A map?
Well, I would have a plan because when it was a big deal, I had young kids. And so you could find like the Tickle Me Elmo
Minions.
Deal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were shopping for you with you. No.
I'd be by myself. But we would go to KB Toys. We would go to Toys R Us. A lot of toys. Best Buy for videos. You know, they used to have like the deal where you could get like $4 movies, which back then they were like $15. Nowadays, you don't even think about that stuff because
there's no such thing as a hard copy of a movie anymore.
No. So, look, there's still Black Friday shopping at malls and at other places. There's still stuff to be had. It's just not the big deal that it used to be. And I find that sad because I used to love that hustle and bustle. It gets busy, but nowhere near what it used to be.
I mean, Amazon played a big part in that with the online shopping, but then they took it one step further when they did their, like, you know, deal days or whatever they came up with. They created their own holiday.
The Prime Days.
Prime days. That's it. Sorry. Yeah, the Prime Days.
I mean, all and of they them
basically,
are having them.
They basically created a new shopping holiday specifically.
It's so true.
And then Walmart did. Now they're all doing it. So it's like we live in this perpetual it's like perpetual sales, but I don't know if they're, are they really sales?
I was just talking about the Wyoming Valley Mall. Yeah, yeah. They have been putting out this old fashioned Black Friday shopping day where they're going to have music and Santa's there. You know, like the mall at Viewmont Mall has that too. I mean, I don't know if they have the music and all other than what's in the speakers, but they'll have a musician at Wyoming Valley Mall and they'll have, what else did we talk? A juggler.
Professional juggler. I'm not sure you know.
It sounds like a good time and they're trying to get people out shopping on Black Friday rather than going online. All right. We want to get to Chris in Wilkes-Barre, who's on the line. Chris, you're on WILK. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I got it. You were talking about the mall. I'll tell you what, the girl that runs that, Brianna, she is incredible with what she's doing and trying to bring things back to the mall. Will it ever be what it was? I don't think so. But it could be something new. Because last weekend, she's been doing these craft shows at the mall. People say, well, craft shows at the mall? I'm going to tell you what, I was a vendor. We had thousands of people in the mall on Saturday. The parking lot was full.
Yeah, that's a cool idea that you can turn it into a specialty, almost like a like the Dixon City. What is it? The drive through the flea market. You can do something and have it do crafts one week or do something different another. That's a really great way, especially when it's colder and people don't want to be outside.
And you know what else? They didn't only support the vendors. They were shopping in the stores as well.
Good.
So, and you know, you were mentioning her funniness on Facebook. Every week she posts on Monday, a move-in Monday, and somebody said, oh, the mall's dead. The mall's dead. So last week she started her video by burying a little coffin that said Wyoming Valley Mall. And then she said, psych.
That's funny.
Wait, I didn't hear psych, so the mall's not buried. No, she's funny.
That's really, funny. That's a clever thing.
They're trying.
Yeah.
And she always tells people, if you want to complain, you want open a business.
Right.
Chris? You know, Chris, look, malls, the idea of just people opening stores or businesses putting their stores in malls like that is just the old way of thinking. You have to look at this and go, what can we do in this mall?
There's a lot of pop-up places.
Well, there's that. But like if you think like Steamtown is a good example of it with their aquarium. You know what I saw last weekend at Steamtown?
What?
A pro wrestling show in the mall.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a Christmas charity event for a little boy who passed away.
How they do things. So that's really cool. It's good to hear that the Brianna's doing good things there.
So that's what we need. We need to give them support and support the business that are there, and more people would come.
Agree. Thank you, Chris. You did your part.
Great. See you on Black Friday.
All right. Take care. Bye. And that's a perfect, that's why we bring it up. That's why we brought up what they're doing at the Wyoming Valley Mall. I think that's really cool. And also talked about the Factoryville Christmas Market. Would love to highlight any other holiday events as well to let people know. These are great places to go to get some really unique gifts for Christmas. Texting a lot of people about Black Friday. Seems people do kind of miss the fun stuff. Yeah. Someone said, you know what I miss about Black Friday? Remember when JCPenney's used to give out candy bars? Those were the days. And I said, yes. Didn't they have a discount code inside the wrapper? I thought you'd take the wrapper off and it would like tell you what percentage off.
That sounds vaguely familiar. I didn't do it, but I remember people telling me how much fun it was.
Yeah. Another text. I don't know about the Wyoming Valley Mall. Every time I bring my daughters to the Viewmont Mall, it's absolutely packed. All the restaurants, parking lots are full. I think the difference that we see, at least in my estimation, between Wyoming Valley and Viewmont Mall, the Viewmont Mall is in such close proximity to every other big box store. I mean, you have Commerce Boulevard, you have the mall right there. All the restaurants are along that. You can hit Walmart, you can hit Target, you can hit Lowe's and Home Depot and Best Buy, all on the same like general area. So it's easy to go, oh, I'm going to pop in here and then I'm going to pop in there. The Wyoming Valley Mall, you have to go way further to get to all of those other stores. That's a much longer route. And I think that's a big part of it.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because I remember when I lived up here in the late 90s, that mall was there. I seem to remember there was a Wegmans and that was it. I think all I kind of, maybe a Walmart, but regardless, like the, it's like the area boomed around the mall.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, yeah, you're right. My son's always like, how come we don't have stuff up? Well, you know what? It kind of, I think that really played a big part. I think you're right.
That's what I think. Anyway, I think it's all so in such a small area. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in a very one whole contained area. And it's so easy to just pop in, pop out, go to the next place. You go to Wilkes-Barre, you got to drive. I mean, and they have a lot. Let's be honest. I think in Wilkes-Barre, you have a lot more options. Didn't they have the Bed Bath and Beyond that never was? They're gone now, I think. But yeah, I'm saying they have some stores that you wouldn't find,
right?
You know, up here. But when I say up here, I say up near where I'm at. So I go to the Viewmont Mall. It's always pretty packed as well. I think the Steamtown Mall's done a really nice job of, like you said, having the aquarium there. They do have the medical offices there.
Yeah, it's not really
convenient, I will say, after you get in the parking. I've done the Geisinger there for orthopedics and such.
It's like this weird mix of like, it's almost like an indoor downtown. Hey, here's the medical stuff. Here's the dentist office. Here's the craft, the guy that has like old collectibles. Here's like
this is a tough place for people to go, to go into a city and go find the parking. And it's a bigger struggle for people. And I think that's why Steamtown didn't work as well.
I like it, not because I think of it as the mall it was, but I see the potential of what it can be. And I'm not quite sure what that potential is, but there's like something interesting happening there that's been slowly unfolding.
Somebody else talked about working at Sugarman's. People would line up as soon as the doors opened. They'd come running in. Yes, I remember those days. Well, other people say they miss the early bird deals. You know, if you were the first people in, you'd get discount codes and all that stuff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have the bill forcing the release of Epstein files being sent to Trump today. Just one last procedural thing. It's pretty much signed off and done going through the Senate, and it will go to the president's desk. A number of outlets have inquired to the Justice Department about how soon they'll be able to release it. Are they releasing all of the information? They have not responded yet. So there's a lot of real skepticism about what might actually happen next. But we've also been talking in this last half hour about Black Friday shopping. I was lamenting how it has changed so much. Obviously, the advent of the internet and online shopping put a huge dent in Black Friday sales. And so now we also saw a lot of these online places and even their counterparts, you know, Best Buy the other day. I popped online to just check something out. And they had Black Friday deals they're talking about. Like these, they've gotten smart in the sense that people start saving up and shopping earlier than Black Friday. I remember when I was young, so I'm talking 1980s and 90s. It wouldn't be weird to go Christmas shopping the last week before. You know, back then there wasn't a lot of shopping months and months prior. And stores realized quickly that people had money in their pockets earlier than Black Friday. So why not offer some sales and some deals to start getting that money before their competitors? But I really miss that day. I mean, you can still, they'll still have, you know, places where you can go. And I know Macy's is one and Penny's. If you get there before, say, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, they'll have a bigger discount on items. So we still, my mother and I still go out and we shop and it's fun. And there's a lot of local places and it's fun to be in that bustle with people. And I don't mind being in a line. It's, you know, people usually generally in a good mood. But there were times when we get up really early. And I'd be in a line at Toys R Us or a KB Toys when the kids were young to get some deals. It was just fun. It kind of took the fun out of it. Not as fun as it used to be. A lot of you have checked in. Somebody says, you know what I miss about Sugarman's? Remember the mystery boxes? I don't remember how much they were. I'm thinking $5 or $2, and you had no idea what it was. This person remembers getting a rain poncho. When I would go to Sugarman's, they were a dollar for a box. And my dad, I remember, would give us each a dollar to get a mystery box. I do recall getting a money clip. And it was a dollar sign, money clip. As a 10-year-old at that time, a money clip wasn't on my list of things that I wanted. Did you used to, Johnny Lucas, you used to go to Sugarman's. I'm sure you did you not?
Yes.
Okay. Am I wrong in remembering? You would walk in the one area, there would be like a little carousel, right? They had a ride. They had, might have had a few rides, if I remember. And then there was a pet place, like, right near there.
Yes, that was the old entrance.
And then there used to be food not far. And I remember, like, there'd be food near where all these pets and the smell of pets were. I seem to remember that. Didn't they have pets that you could purchase?
Yeah, they did have a pet, like a pet shop.
A pet department.
A pet department. Yeah.
Oh my! Did you ever get the mystery box?
No.
Was that like, no. Sorry, it's too much money?
I'd probably, yeah.
I remember those days at Sugarman's. Oh my gosh, what a, remember, though, that was a time when you didn't, it was like a superstore.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yes.
You could get everything and anything.
Yeah, they even had a grocery store in there for a while.
Did they? Oh, wow. I'm just, I know when we would go and you'd walk around and, oh my gosh, my cousin worked there. A lot of people, I think, from your, he lived in the Mid-Valley.
I worked there for a little
bit. Did you work there?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Back in the late 80s. Sold lamps and vacuum cleaners.
Did you know anything about them?
Just here's the switch. You turn it on. You put the bulb in like this.
Aw. I miss those days. Yeah. Do you remember Unclaimed Freight?
Yes.
We would go to Unclaimed Freight. Unclaimed Freight. You get stuff cheap. Was it stuff that fell off of the truck? I thought it was like stuff that was like, you know, we'd have to throw it away otherwise, or stuff nothing, it wouldn't sell.
That's what I think it was, if I remember correctly.
There was Wes Friedman, there was Service Merchandise,
Jewel Core.
All these places, a place that began with an S that I can't remember. Not Sugarman's.
Not Sears.
No, but that is still sad to not have those anymore.
Zare.
Is there still Peebles? Is it Peebles?
Peebles?
I thought there's still a Peebles.
Anyway, I think so.
Somebody says a dollar a box. I got a watch. You lucky dog. I don't remember getting anything. Like the number one demo of person getting the mystery box was a child. Why you would put a money clip in? I got a money clip. I never had a lot of money. I didn't need a money clip. What did you get? Oh, Strouds. That's the one. Thank you. Someone said Strouds. Strouds was also another one. Someone else said, yes, the pet department with hamsters. And the food court was right nearby. That's what I remember. The smell of popcorn and food and pet pee. That's what I remember. Those good times. Oh, Jason had to step out, by the way. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. He'll be back in the office a little later, but he had to go do something. Someone else says, the show is great today. The absence of Trump hate is very welcomed, and I don't even like the guy. Well, if you listened earlier, there was some. But we've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff today as well. And one of those was the data centers, which I think is a huge deal. The more and more I read, it's like we are building and bringing in places that are going to replace us. I was Googling yesterday to see what are the estimates of job losses from artificial intelligence. And there are some that are estimating there could be 25% of job losses by 2030. How are we going to survive that economically? Someone else says Sugarman's had dogs too for a while. We're just going to pop around here. Yeah, I remember that. Another one mentions the store Hills. I remember KB Toys having great, great deals on Black Friday, but they're such small stores. It would be an absolute disaster standing in line, getting through those doorbusters. It was always packed. You could be ending up at the end of the line all the way through the store. Sometimes it just wasn't worth it at all, was it? Somebody else is talking about... Let me find this. Sometimes when they're longer, it's hard for me to follow. Someone mentioned Montage Mountain, which I think they have some great places, but there are some empty storefronts. There are some empty storefronts up there. And they said there are a lot of empty shops there. There are some, but they do have some great. I do like shopping up at Montage. And they used to have a whole bunch of them, but I know a number of them. You know, it's tough. They still have a Bath and Body Works up there. I do like stopping there. And they still have one at the Viewmont Mall. Someone else mentioned Duck Donuts being up there as well. Where do you like to shop for Black Friday? There's a lot of great craft and holiday fairs that go on where you can get some really great homemade stuff from vendors. That's always great as well. Yeah, and downtown Wilkes-Barre has the Boscovs. We were asking earlier, I couldn't remember if, I know there's one in Wilkes-Barre. I didn't know if there was one at the Wyoming Valley Mall, but there's not. But Boscovs always has great deals as well around the holidays. And they do have one at the Steamtown Mall as well. Are you spending more or less this holiday season? Is there any kind of way you're looking at things? I know it's been tough for people. One of the issues that is we've been talking, the Epstein files thing is going to get through the Senate quickly this morning, and it's going to go to the president's desk. And, you know, there's a lot of what could happen there. We don't know. We kind of wait to see what happens. Will they be fully released? Will there be redactions? Will it be scrubbed of anybody that is a Republican? I mean, I'm just telling you some of the rumors that are out there. But here's the thing that really a lot of people should pay more attention to, and the ones who are most affected certainly are, and that is the Affordable Care Act enhanced subsidies. It's the thing that Democrats were hanging on to, trying to get some resolution to in the government talks when it was shut down. Now, the Republicans had said they were going to have a vote on this and come up with either an extension or some kind of alternative. Now, the president has been telling them, don't waste your time on that. We'll just send money directly to consumers. And just so you know, that is not going to help the health insurance situation. So if you're telling somebody who maybe was paying $700 a month for their insurance, and it's gone up to $3,000 a month, sending a $2,000 check is not going to help anybody that is facing that large increase. Now, people would say, I don't mind getting money. But a lot of people say what's going to happen is you're not putting any money into the healthcare system or the health insurance system. So what happens is that it just keeps the sickest people in the system, and it will just hasten the death of that industry and lack of coverage for people, and people will be uninsured, and it will cost all of us more. Because people at their sickest will get coverage, but not coverage from a health insurance company. They'll get care, and the cost is passed on to others. But a direct cash proposal would create the death spiral in the marketplace. Again, giving them that money isn't going to make them go buy insurance. They will use that for maybe an out-of-pocket cost or pay off some other debt. Healthy people drop coverage, and it's going to only make the marketplace more expensive. So they need to come up with an answer or a plan. But having people not have coverage is not the answer people want. So they are on the hook now and responsible for what happens or doesn't happen with the ACA. So that's something that they need to work on while they push this Epstein thing along and get that coming out. We were talking about the nostalgia, old times when we were younger, shopping downtown Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, the malls, the Black Friday deals, how it's so different today. There's a story on WNEP where in downtown Scranton, they have started paying homage to where the Lackawanna Government Center is. It was the former Globe store. Bill Gawham, one of the county commissioners, he said, we saw this as an opportunity to really decorate it for Christmas and make it what it was back when the Globe store was here. And people used to come here and come downtown with their kids and their families. And there was kind of a Christmas spirit. So they've put up some decorations that fill the windows, authentic, they say, to the Globe store and the county as well. And they do have like even the old The Globe logo next to these pieces. According to WNEP, each one is a custom piece made by Scranton artist Jeff D'Angelo. And he said, 60 years ago, my mom and dad would take me through, you know, the Globe store, the Scranton Drive. We'd walk. We'd be looking in the windows. I'd say, wow, look at this. Look at how beautiful the window displays are. And you forward to now. And here I am decorating the windows. I'm so thrilled. So his style is cartoonish prop art. And he said, I have over 15,000 pieces in my studio. He said, I'm at the end of my career. I'm saying I don't want this to end. We're trying to see how you can share this artwork forever. So the holiday displays at the county building are up and, going on and will be up through January. So if you want to take a peek at it, you can go to WNEP and you can see it yourself. It's really cool. I mean, in the old days, if you remember, my mom always took us to downtown Scranton and we would see Santa in the Globe store. Was that in the attic? Did you go, John? I don't know if you ever went. It was either on the attic or the basement. I can't remember for the love of God.
No, not to the Globe.
You didn't?
No.
Anyway, but you would walk alongside and they would have those mechanical, like the kids or the snowman and the sleigh. And, it was like a physical display with movement, which was really cool. And I think it's really cool, though, that they're adding that. So if you're walking downtown, you will see this Christmas display there at the government building, which was the Globe store. So I think that's a really cool idea. Some of you texting in your thoughts on remembering all these things. Sugarman's gave me my first credit card, got a scratch and dent washer. Harry and Marty were great people. They provided Lots of jobs. Another mention, McCrory's. I remember McCrory's. Used to go there all the time. I used to work at the Acme Super Saver in Clark Summit, and the McCrory's was where Brown's Gym is now. So I would hang out there. Another said, less than 5% of main streets in America have a department store on it. Boscov's in Wilkes-Barre is very special. This person says, I do all my shopping there. I miss the restaurant in the basement. They still have gift wrap on the fourth floor. I do my shopping, leave them wrapped. It's truly any husband's dream minus the sandwich is what they say. Oh, that's funny. Another one said, in the 80s, I worked at the Bon Ton Kaiser Oak. I remember the Cabbage Patch Mania. There were only so many in the hordes of people yelling and screaming, trying to get theirs. And another said, when Sugarman's first opened, they were on Main Street, Einan across from the American Legion, before moving to Route 6. Ah, good memories. We do know that the bill forcing the release of the Epstein files is set to be sent to President Donald Trump today. I do have audio here. I'm just going to play it from my phone. Jason had to step out. So he won't be on for the rest of the show. He'll be back in the office in a little bit. He had to go get something done. But I'm going to play this for you, because yesterday the House, you know, moved almost unanimously, one standout, to move the Epstein bill forward to the Senate. And at that time, the Speaker, Mike Johnson, had wanted them to modify it. And there was thoughts that, you know, what will happen when it gets to the center? Will they change things? Because, you know, they may put modifications on it where certain things can't be released. But that did not happen at all. That was it was just pushed through as it was. And Mike Johnson, who had requested that they make those changes, was asked about it last night. And he was not happy about what they had done. I'm going to play a little bit of this for you.
Any reaction to Leader Thune, you seeing the bill without adding amendments or changing it?
I am deeply disappointed in this outcome. I think I've been at the state dinner. I don't know. I was just told that Chuck Schumer rushed it to the floor and put it out there preemptively. It needed amendments. I just spoke to the president about that. We'll see what happens.
So is he? Do you think he may veto it? You say you spoke to the president?
I'm not saying that.
Is he supportive of it in its current form?
We both have concerns about it, so we'll see. I was standing there with the Crown Prince. We didn't call him.
Are you frustrated with the majority leader? Are you upset with the majority leader?
And that was the end of that. But he was not happy that this thing just went straight through. Now, the Department of Justice was asked by numerous outlets, will they release the files in their entirety? We did not get an answer about that. Now, there was something else that happened yesterday in the Oval Office, and it had to do with Jamal Khashoggi, U.S.-based journalist, critic of Saudi Arabia's government, who walked into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, where he was murdered, October the 2nd, 2018. Now, Donald Trump yesterday was sitting alongside the prince and the man who Donald Trump's own CIA determined was the one who ordered the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. So yesterday, a journalist asked about that, and Donald Trump defended the Crown Prince, called Khashoggi a controversial figure, said things happen. Just so you know, if you didn't look into it, Jamal Khashoggi was brutally murdered. There's actually audio of his final screams, and you can hear the bone saw that was used to dismember his body. He went to that consulate to pick up a document. He did not believe something bad would happen on Turkish soil. He walked into that building. You know how he came out? In suitcases or briefcases, his body in pieces. Donald Trump's own CIA said it was ordered by the prince, that murder. And he's sitting next to him, glad-handing him, talking about what a great guy he is. And saying that the controversial figure, the victim in this case. Some people liked him, some people didn't. Things happen. Seriously. Now, I want to mention for you something that happened. And this is just interesting because it's interesting to see if we will get more info on this that has to do with this case. So, and this is just news that is just coming out. Eugene Vindman, who's now a congressman, he used to be on the National Security Council, and he would have info on phone calls and other things that were made by leaders to other leaders. Representative Vindman, in this clip I'm going to play for you, is talking about a shocking phone call that happened between President Trump and Mohammed bin Salman. And he is asking for that transcript to be released. So I'm going to play this for you.
Mr. Speaker, given the president's disturbing and counterfactual defense of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman today, I feel compelled to speak up on behalf of Mr. Khashoggi and his family and the American people. During my tenure on Trump's White House National Security Council staff, I reviewed many of Trump's calls with foreign leaders. Of all the calls I reviewed, two stood out as the most problematic. The first, we all know, it was between President Trump and President Zelensky, which resulted in President Trump's first impeachment. The second was between President Trump and Mohammed bin Salman. After the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, I reviewed a call between the president and the Saudi Crown Prince. The American people and the Khashoggi family deserve to know what was said on that call. If history is any guide, the receipts will be shocking. I call on the president to release that transcript. And honestly, does anyone believe that the Zelensky call was the only problematic conversation Donald Trump had with a foreign leader?
All right. So that is what you may also hear is coming out. I'm seeing other news outlets picking up the conversation and what Representative Vindman had to say on the floor yesterday. Just something to think about. Let's get the full forecast looking into the weekend as well. Here is Storm Tracker 16 meteorologist Joe Snedeker.
Hi, folks, and good Wednesday. Snedeker here from WNEP-TV. Much of the day today, it's going to be awesome. Partly sunny and in the mid-40s, spring fever. Had some wet snow this morning in parts of the area, pretty much gonzo. And it looks pretty good all the way now into Thanksgiving week. I'm loving it. So today, partly sunny, 45. Overnight tonight, lows near 28. Now tomorrow, a partly sunny 45 degree day. Come on, this is excellent. Friday, a weak boundary moves through. There could be a few scattered showers, clouds, peeps of sun, not a bad day at all. And then the weekend, that front moves south and so does the rain. So it looks like Saturday and Sunday, we could be close to 50. Yes, with partly sunny skies. That's good parade weather in Scranton for the Santa parade. I have to say all that because it's a WNEP event and I'm a company man. I'm not a parade guy though. Hey, listen, it's not my fault. I have a short attention span. My brain is wired differently. After one fire truck, I'm ready to go home. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, still looking dry. And then some showers of rain could be around by next Wednesday, pre-Thanksgiving. The rest is up to you. Make it a good day.
Yeah, we'll do our best. The office exhibit is now officially open if you go to the Everhart Museum in Scranton, which I love that place. As a child, we'd go there. And there were a lot of things that are no longer there because they're inappropriate. But not a lot, a few things. But it's a great place. And they have an office from the TV show exhibit. They have costumes and props. It has never really been filmed in Scranton. Outside of the intro, which shows you some of the streets and like the street view and the signs and the lights. But it has become a big part of tourism in Scranton. There are people who come there and they go on a tour and they'll go to places that have been mentioned in the sitcom. So this thing is going on through October of 2027. So it's got a few years going on. There is a ticket you get. So adult admission, because it also includes the museum edition, $20. Senior student and kids admission is $10. And the museum is also going to be unveiling an exhibit on the Hubble Space Telescope in January. There's a whole bunch of this detailed in the Scranton Times Tribune in their entertainment section. Speaking of entertainment at the FM Kirby Center, our own Johnny Lucas, thrilled to hear about Celtic Woman coming to the FM Kirby Center, right, John? So he's excited about this.
That's right.
So the tickets go on sale today. I think that's for people who are Kirby Center members and then the general public on Friday. And the Celtic Woman performance is a part of their New Era tour for Sunday, March the 8th, 7 p.m. Who is Celtic Woman? Do we have a little bit of them for you? Four Irish musicians, accompanied by dancers and an ensemble playing songs on bagpipe, whistles, pipes. They first debuted back in 2004. They get nearly a million monthly listeners on Spotify and 900 million U.S. streams to date. All right. So as we're talking about the upcoming holiday, we were talking about Black Friday shopping. But the world and politics, especially here, the way it is. Politics, the number one list of banned topics at the holiday gathering. Yes, there are 47% of people in this survey of 2,000 adults who say they will sit at the kids' table to dodge uncomfortable discussions. 42% say politics banned topic. Finances comes in at 28%. Weight comments at 26. Do people really talk about other people's weight? I would hope not. Most people want to talk about food and wine and about loved ones and learning about things that they're doing and trying to like find the best in other people. I think that would be the best thing, right? So are you guys going to have politics on the discussion for the holidays? Or what do? Do you have like the blanket, let's not talk it? Then again, if the alcohol is flowing, sometimes your best plans go out the window. So try to keep it peaceful. A few important things that happened on this date. 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivers the Gettysburg Address as he dedicated a national cemetery at the site of a Civil War battlefield in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Absolutely wonderful. Just a famous speech, a very special place. People keep texting me. I'm sorry, folks. 1959, Ford Motor Company said it would stop making the Edsel, the car so unpopular its name came to stand for any flop. Those things happened on this day. Time to play a game, John.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
All right, taking a look at these birthdays on November the 19th. John's going to guess the age. Within 2 years, it's considered a win. You ready?
I'm ready.
Dick Cavett, former talk show host.
He's older. I'm going to say 85.
89. Not bad. Close. Jodie Foster, Oscar-winning actress.
I'm going to say she is probably 63.
You got it right on the nose. 63. Good for you. Allison Janney, West Wing mom. Do you know who this? Do you know her? To see her? I'll just take a guess then. Okay, think around the same time as the previous one.
Okay. 60.
66. All right. Calvin Klein, the fashion designer.
He's older. He's, I'm going to say 83.
He is 83. You are knocking it out of the park today. Meg Ryan, actress, Top Gun, When Harry Met Sally, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them.
She's probably in her 60s, 65.
64. Look at you. You show off. I shouldn't have put that Allison Janney in there. Ted Turner, media mogul.
Ted Turner. He's older, but not too old. I'm going to say 78.
87. You had to turn those numbers around. There you go. Good job, though. You did pretty good today.
Thanks.
Thanks. All right. Anyway, if it's your birthday, happy birthday. And if it's your anniversary, we wish you a very happy anniversary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.